Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. This week's episode. I'm veering off of our script. This is crazy. Anyway, welcome to episode 7 of season 6. If you just joined, I'm Robin of Out of Tired Witch Everywhere, and I'm joined by the beautiful, the divine, the supremely powerful Maria of Magic with Maria on Instagram.
Well, everywhere. God, you're like adjectives. What are adjectives?
Clearly, my brain is still recuperating from surgery. Okay, let me live. I'm just a girl.
We aren't trying improv. We're not trying improv. I thought that's what we're doing.
Could you imagine if I was like an improv actor? I need structure or I crumble.
Oh, same my bestie. Goodness.
Thank you all so much for joining us. As a reminder, Maria and I are going to be in Chicago June 12th through 15th for the Windy City Parafest. Tickets are available, so join us. And if you can't make it, but you are like, I really want to see Maria and Robin on the main stage doing a live episode, there's also live streaming tickets. So get out there, get it. And if you would like to get a discount, if you use the word coffee at checkout, they're giving discounts to our listeners.
And there's so many other speakers that are amazing. Yes. Is well worth the listen for not just us, but a lot of other people too.
For just us, but also other people will be there. I'm just joking.
Your father is literally going
My
to be
dad's there. Gonna be there. John Tenney and Jessica of the What's Up Weirdo podcast. My people. So get it together. Get over there. Also, this month, I asked Maria if she was okay with it, and she said yes because she supports me. She supports women's rights and wrongs. And so this month in May, I'm going to be hosting our class, and our class is going to be on baneful magic. We're doing a class on curses and hexes. Come learn how to hex people you don't like. It's one of my favorite topics. I was going to name the class Let's Kill Somebody, but I was a little bit worried that people would take that too literally. So we're calling it good old-fashioned baneful magic. Come and join us. It'll be fun. It's going to be on May 31st at 12. I am excited to teach you.
Yeah. And also, you guys, don't forget to call us and leave a voicemail for us to listen to, like ghost stories or really any kind of story you think the community would love to hear. And we will try to replay it on our coffee talks. But that number is 351-207-0799. Now, there is a three-minute limit. And if you don't finish your story by then, just call us back and be like, hey, it's me again. And we will piece it together where you left off.
Or don't. We have caller ID. I can figure it out. I've got a really big brain. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your magical practice. Now, the nearest one to us in a relationship to when this episode comes out is actually quite far out, and it is on May 12th. That is going to be the full moon in Scorpio. This full moon is interesting, I feel like, because it, especially if you live in the United States, I feel like this particular full moon is going to be interesting because the full moons in Scorpio they're almost transformative when it comes to our relationships and kind of how we relate to the unpredictability of humans. And given everything that's going on right now when it comes to these shifts in power and all the just, I don't know, crazy political, but also like economic stuff going on for those of us in America. I honestly don't know how the economy looks the rest of the world because a little preoccupied with our own craziness right now. So maybe it's happening other places too. I'm not sure. how these trade things are affecting the rest of the planet. I should probably Google that. This particular full moon is going to be kind of bringing forth these unpredictable connections. And it comes with things like love and romance and how we connect with others, but it also comes with just unpredictability as, you know, a chaotic functionality within the world. And so if we are looking towards spell work that we can utilize this time, I would focus on doing stuff like trusting the process. Spell work that is taking unpredictable chaos and transforming it into something we can kind of utilize in a way that is maybe a little bit more stable. Mm-hmm. So if you are in a position, I think it makes it really broad. So if you're in a position of you're really worried about finances in the coming month, you're really worried about, you know, the communication you have with your family, these sort of like unpredictable things, I would focus in on that and focus on giving that some stability. So that way we are taking this chaos and kind of giving it something structured. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
So I love everything you said.
Thank you. It's yes. My beautiful brain.
And okay, so Scorpio full moons are kind of like one of my favorite full moons out there. And no, I do not have like I think of Scorpio in one part of my chart. But anyways.
I would like the listeners to know that I have been made fun of in a loving way for saying every moon is my favorite. And yet
I just say that about Aries, Libra, and Scorpio.
Maria has taken that on in recent months.
But okay. So for me, Scorpio is kind of like our main topic today, is a very liminal sign, just like Aquarius is, because I equate Aquarius not only with like, you know, air, but it's also water. And then I equate Scorpio with, well, it's a water sign. It's also to me a fire sign. And so it's a very liminal sign. So this is like, and then also like considering the other correspondences of Scorpio, which is like protection. It is like baneful magic. It is anything to protect yourself and to, you know, solidify, like, you know, if something is like negatively impacting you, this is the perfect time to go after it, or sure. You know, to kind of like send it off, like, you know, Robin's class, like baneful magic. But
come on, gang, let's kill someone in a joking way. I'm joking,
not just protection and baneful magic, but I also see Scorpio as a good, like, if you need to redo your wards for your house, if you need some protection spells. Like, I know we just mentioned protection, but like not against other people so much, but just like even for spirits or like anything negative that you don't want to get into your house, this is the perfect time to do so, because it being that liminal sign, that in between, which also makes it a good time for divination or even just like larger magical workings. Maybe you just want to like need a power up when it comes to your magical practice, this is the perfect to do that power up with. But yeah, those are my thoughts towards it.
I like it.
Thanks.
You got a beautiful brain, girl.
Oh, thank you. She does her best. Okay, so every episode we talk about tarot cards. Previous seasons, we have gone over individual meanings of cards. We've gone over the whole sections in tarot in previous seasons, and we've also went over themes last season. This season, we're kind of concentrating on like shuffle and drawing, just doing like a collective message. So this time it's my turn to do the shuffle and draw, and I'm using what I'm actually going to be talking about in our shop portion, and it's Magical Hours Tarot. It's a new deck from USA Games, but I'll talk more about like the imagery and stuff of the cards then, but let's go ahead and see what they have to say. Yep. Okay, so as Robin said, you know, the economy, this is going to be very big on that. We got the King of Pentacles. If you're on YouTube, here is the card.
Didn't we get the King of Pentacles last time too?
Did we? I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but that feels right.
I don't know. I've talked about the King of Pentacles like
I don't twice. Care if we got like, it twice. It's a collective reading is a collective reading. I just think it's interesting.
Okay. So for me, like the kings represent, like all the kings represent different realms and kingdoms in our own lives. And this one has to deal with finances, how we are spending our time and energy, but not in like the short term aspect, but in the long term aspect. But like, we're not thinking about like what we're doing now. We're thinking about what we're doing now to get ahead later. You know, it's setting the solid foundations and building up from there, setting boundaries where we need to set boundaries and expanding where we need to expand, you know, that whole like king mindset. And even like the ends have to justify the means. Like kings can be very ruthless, and sometimes we have to like leave stuff behind in order to and set straight as those strict boundaries as I was speaking about to get that further ahead. But anyways, so this one does represent like our financial futures, or even how we like view ourselves in the future, spending our time and energy. And so as a collective, I think it's just asking us like, what can we do now that will empower us in the future, like financially, or make it feel like our time and energy is going towards a goal that is worthwhile, that will, you know, not only that we might have to work towards, or like a goal we already have that we can keep it going so that longevity is there. And, you know, as I said, sometimes you're going to have to set boundaries financial wise in order to get there or with a goal. You know, maybe you're like, okay, so I'm going to need my dinners to stretch, you know, meet this year. Like I'm going to cook bulk in order to save up a bunch of money. Groceries are super expensive in the States right now, and they're probably only going to get more expensive. So, you know, you're thinking about what you can do, like what you can cut in order to, you know, not be severely financially impacted. Obviously, groceries is just an idea. But also when it comes to like the time and energy on goals, like if you are wanting like a bigger position at work, this doesn't mean you're just going to show up to, you know, like, oh, I showed up early to work like twice, or I've been putting in extra effort, you know, twice. But you're not like networking, you're not, you know, you're not doing those extra steps in order to prove that you are worthy of this position. You just want it. And the king kind of like is asking you to show up, or even to push your boundaries. Maybe there is a position that is available to you, and you know, you're kind of like going back and forth about it. You're like, is this even like, do I even have the power to get this? And you're like kind of questioning yourself, even though everyone around you is like, you're perfect for this, go after it, stop being stupid. But yeah, the King of Pentacles is just, you know, asking you to step into that role. Okay, so how do you view this card?
I'm in full agreement with you, and I feel like this really is kind of bringing home what we just also talked about with the moon phase and just everything going on right now, is that things are so unpredictable and so chaotic that the King of Pentacles specifically is like, you know, the world is crazy right now. Let's lean into what we can rely on, and what we can rely on is being a little bit more financially responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This maybe isn't, and especially with like the tariffs and stuff going on, this is a good time to say, maybe I don't need to buy a bunch of shit off of Amazon right now. Maybe I don't need to get another matching set from TikTok shop. You know what I mean? This is one of those times that we beg for financial responsibility, essentially, and making good choices. So
absolutely. Yeah, I think the King of Pentacles is like the king of being thankful for what you already have, and like, you know, financially wise, and, you know, saving where you can. So yeah, I absolutely agree.
Yeah. So this week, Maria and I decided that we were going to talk about the liminality of magic, the liminal spaces, what that kind of looks like to us, and I don't know, the importance of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Maria, what is the liminal?
Oh my gosh, it's so many things. Like, okay, like if we're thinking about it in a spiritual wise, like, we have our world and we have the other world. The other world is like where spirits are. It is where deities are. It is, you know, everything on the other side of this plane that we can get to sometimes through head crossing and stuff like that. But in between there, like how we interact with that world is where the liminal is at. We as witches, we interact with the liminal all the time in our practices, all the time within our practices. And we will go over like how to use it within a practice. But like, but yeah, it's really just those in-between spots, like, and us like going into the mindset of the liminal, but not fully crossing over into the other world like we would during hedge crossing or anything right. like that. How about for you?
The liminal, to me, the liminal, it means in a literal sense, the liminal is the in-between, right? Mm-hmm. But the in-between for me is also just the unknown.
Yep.
So absolutely. Like we take things like in magic where people like somebody who maybe is just first getting into magic or somebody who is not getting into magic but just has questions is like, well, how does this work? Well, that is the liminal. The question is the answer is the liminal. It is the assumed but the unknown. It is the divine. It is all things that we can't hold in our hands that we have in almost like a faith sense, right? And yeah, the liminal is everything.
Yeah. Like people don't really think about it, but like when you're going through a huge like transformative like period of your life, that is liminal because you're not yeah. where you were and you're going to where you are. Like liminal yep. stuff is sometimes so hard to go through. And I mean, in the real-world aspect, I mean, hospitals are liminal. Like
totally, 1,000%.
You know, those are liminal spaces because you know you're there's wellness and there's sickness and there's death. So like, yes, hospitals, very liminal spaces. Like
portals are liminal as well. And all portals, so windows and door frames, because you're not inside and you're not outside. You're in the liminal.
Yeah, absolutely. You're in the absolutely.
And so it's one of those things where I think that people want to give liminality this almost too like title and or explanation, and I do think that is also true.
Oh yeah, it's like really magical. Like the liminal is right. a magical space no matter what, but
right, but there's it like both things are true at once, where we are looking at something that is tangible and something that is intangible, which is a liminality in and of itself, right? It is, it's almost like, what's that movie? The Inception.
Dang, I haven't thought about that movie in forever, thanks.
You're welcome. I'm out here just reminding you of...
Well, you guys know Doctor Strange? Doctor Strange would be liminal.
Exactly. So the liminal is the unknown, all and the in-between. And that is both in a literal and a mystical sense. So the unknown and in-between is things like deities, spirits, the beyond, the fae. You know, they say that you can see fays in doorways because that's a liminal space. Mm-hmm. Anything that is not concretely in one place or another is the liminal. And so it's something that I think that I'm trying to think about how to word this. It's something that I think that we can all utilize, even if witchcraft and spirituality is something that we're curious about, but not active participants of.
Well, even like Christianity wise, churches are liminal because
1,000%. It's the house of God.
Yeah, it's the meeting point. You know, you're not totally over with, you know, in quote unquote heaven, but you are in the place that can communicate with
heaven.
It
if that hell, is what you'd so. Even call it.
But yeah, like even when we're hedge crossing, like if you're hedge crossing, obviously there's tons of ways to do it. Like some people do the world tree where you can go up the world tree, you can go through the world tree, you can go under the world tree to get to where you are at. But other people, like, and when they're hedge crossing, they do ladders, they do doorways, they do tunnels or like wells. Like those things are liminal when you are hedge crossing, because you're crossing over into that desired place where you want to go, either the upper world, mid world, or underworld.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so,
yeah.
Like, it's so good.
Yeah. But
this is fresh in her mind because we just had a class on hedge crossing.
I know. We did. Christine Grace was amazing in that class. Like, you guys should go really watch great. It.
And as a reminder, it's on Patreon, and you don't have to subscribe to Patreon. You can just buy the class. So,
no.
So good.
So
in terms of the liminal as mm-hmm. a verb instead of an adjective, mm-hmm. What deities, spirits, beings, etc., would you kind of label as liminal okay. others?
So obviously spirits.
She's about to do a hot take.
No. Oh, yes, actually. Yes. And I'm going to anger so many witches that should not be listening to our podcast. But anyways, okay. So, obviously, like, not the one that will anger, but, like, okay, so Hecate is a liminal goddess because she's the one that, like, travels the tunnels and stuff to the underworld. She deals with life and death. And Persephone is also a liminal goddess because in any time during that liminal time where she is going from the upper world to the underworld is considered a liminal time. So that's like mm-hmm. autumn, that is like midwinter. And then like, okay, so those two, and I find a lot of trickster gods too are
I agree with that 100%.
Like Hermes, who's a trickster god, is considered liminal too, but he was like one of the gods that wasn't Hecate or wasn't Persephone, he was a messenger, so he was allowed to freely travel between the realms, which makes him liminal. Mm-hmm. Obviously this is, I work with Greek and Roman deities, so like that is where like I focus. But, and also, okay. So this is when like people are going to be like, oh, really? And potentially, you know, if they read our Instagram post,
are we about to get canceled?
Yeah. By the wrong, like by the people
by
that we
idiots.
Don't care about. Yes.
Go on.
So trans people and non-binary people are liminal beings. Like,
yeah, I agree with
they
that.
They are liminal beings. They are magic. They literally are the definition of magic.
I actually just saw a Instagram post recently where somebody was being interviewed about trans people and religion. Mm-hmm. And what the person said to me was so profound, and I didn't have the words for it previously, but now I'm keeping it in my back pocket, where they said that they believe that trans people are the proof of the existence of God, because the Bible says that our body is a vessel for our time here on earth, and what is mm-hmm. a bigger reflection of the body being a vessel than changing your gender identity?
Yeah.
And that was like, I never had the words for it before, but mm-hmm. when I saw that video, I was like, Wow. Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. And magic itself is trans. Magic itself is non-binary. Yeah, we do have the masculine and feminine aspects, but there's so much that goes in between that.
I think it's important that a lot of people, I don't know if they don't realize it or they just forget it, which is that the masculine and feminine energies that we talk about in magic are archetypal, not sexual identity. And archetypal in this sense is using these terms in a traditional societal viewpoint that doesn't mean it's going to resonate with you. For example, the archetypal meanings that are found in like the Seven of Swords is about thievery. It's about being a con artist. Well, would you say, well, I've never conned anybody before. I've never stolen before. So the Seven of Swords just doesn't apply to me. Well, yes, it does, because it's a meaning, right? It doesn't mean that you specifically have to have done con artistry for the Seven of Swords to never apply to you.
But it's been done to most people.
I identify as she, her. I am AFAB. Like, I identify in the biological body that I was assigned at birth as a woman, right? But that doesn't mean that I don't have masculine, traditional, archetypal masculine energies that fit me.
Yeah,
that doesn't make me a man or masculine, that it has anything to do with my gender identity. It has to do with the societal construct that we typically apply towards men.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't like going back to the trans non-binary thing, like even Native Americans, like, you know, they have two-spirited people. They viewed them as like the most like, you know, spiritual amongst them. And I don't know, because, you know, trans and non-binary people go through so much and they go through so many liminal aspects that they are like, they're filled with knowledge about like life and existence and of like their own personal magic and stuff like that. So
I don't want to get on like a full tangent about all of it, but it is one of those things I think that the archetypes are also like a liminal, because while they might be, you know, labeled as one way or the other, it is the in-between because it applies to everyone. And I think that we find ourselves in a toxic cycle of social, like societal roles when it comes to gender and sexuality and sexual like organs, when we are so resistant of things like feminine and masculine, that we can't understand that it doesn't need to apply to you in a literal sense to
not
still apply to you.
Not in a literal sense at all. That's when we get toxic, guys.
Women fall into toxic.
Oh, like, absolutely.
And everybody falls into these toxic, like, men and women. Rowling, yeah. People in general can fall into these toxic ass like roles, and I think that there's just so much validity in like non-binary individuals being like, but I don't fit into either, so like, don't apply that to me. And it's like, totally, like, when it comes to how we identify, 1,000%, but human beings are, you know,
faceted.
We're freaking complicated.
And imagine meeting people who actually embrace that multifacetedness, like, you know, trans and non-binary people routinely do.
1,000%.
And so, magical beings, you can't convince me otherwise. But
I agree.
Anyways, do you have any beings or anything, deities you want to talk about that you consider?
I think that all deities that deal with spirits are mm-hmm. part of the liminal. So like
absolutely
Hades, Hell, Santa Muerte.
Actually, I don't consider Hades liminal because he stays in the underworld. Just
you
because
say
he stays
that,
there.
So, but see, I disagree because he has Persephone who comes and goes, who is his partner, and we are all affected directly by our partners and how our partners exist. And so while Hades himself stays in the underworld, there is, I think, that extra layer in that specific case that does make him liminal. And also just like the what's the, I forget the guy's name, the soul fairy guy.
Definitely liminal. Definitely liminal.
What is his name?
I'm so bad at it.
Oh, I'm going to Google it. I'm going to Google it.
It's like,
Charon.
Charon, yeah.
Charon is the ferryman who transports the dead across the river of Acheron, which I can pronounce. So there you go. I did have to Google it. Sorry. but it's a psychopomp. And so psychopomps are all liminal.
Yeah. Like the fates are definitely liminal too, because they 1,000% work in that time, you know, off of time.
Yeah. And then you obviously also have just spirits in general, ghosts, if you will.
100%. Yes.
Especially considering, like, so if we look at ghosts and spirits in the different forms of the dead, like the hungry dead, we have the wandering dead, like all the different types of the dead, right? Especially spirits that don't know they're dead. Mm-hmm. Those are like the most, that is, in my opinion, the most liminal being that could exist in ever. Mm-hmm. Because they not only are, you know, proof, I'm doing air quotes here because obviously we're all allowed to believe whatever we want, proof that there is some form of an afterlife or whatever, right? But that proof is also met directly with not being an acceptance of what their reality is. So it's both proof and disproof in one.
Yeah.
And that's layered and complicated in its own right.
It is. Yes, absolutely agree. But okay, so kind of like thinking about it, do you think for spirits, are we considered liminal, or do you think they are fully crossing over, like astral travel, or like not astral travel, hedge crossing? I don't know why I said astral travel, but like hedge crossing over to the swim.
So like philosophical. Oh my God.
I know.
Wow. I don't have an answer for that. I'm going to have to think about that. You put me on the spot with like a really philosophical question.
I was just thinking.
I love your brain.
Thank you. She can be smart sometimes.
She can be. Before sometimes. We wrap this segment, how do you specifically utilize liminal spaces within your practice?
Okay. So I obviously there's a ton of different ways, but I'll go over three. My altar. Altars are liminal spaces because they are portals to our intentions. So every time
it's
you
also the space where spirit sits.
Exactly. So that is, you know, every time you interact with your article, you are kind of like, you know, you're interacting with the liminal. And the more you use your altar, the more powerful that connection with the liminal is. And then I use the, like, as I said, witches work with the liminal all the time. Each time that we do a spell, each time we do anything, like we're drawing from like that liminal in between because we're creating like change and transformation to happen. Specifically, like I use a liminal like when I do client readings or readings for myself, because like while I'm shuffling and stuff like that, I am intentionally working with like the spirit world to like work with their guides and see if like there's any messages or anything that needs to come through as I'm shuffling. Mm-hmm. And also like just like doing divination in general is divining, because you are in that liminal space of seeing like what could potentially happen. But because I work with Hecate, I do a bunch of like crossroads type things, and crossroads are liminal spaces. Mm-hmm. And crossroads is a broad term. It doesn't have to be just like roads. It can be paths. It can be like even like three-way meeting spots within your home. It can be like crossroads is a huge
big broad term.
Yeah, big broad term. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, but those are like the main things I wanted to touch on. Obviously, there's a whole lot more, but so much more. As I said, we being witches, we work with it in so many different ways.
I don't have too much to add on what you just said, but I will reemphasize the portals thing that I mentioned earlier. I'm really big at guarding my house at portals, at entryways. So like if you ever came to my house, you would see that I've got like bells on the door and I've got, you know, charms above each door and everything. Cause I work specifically with spirits. And so spirits do come and go through portals a lot, and I do my best to keep that at bay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knock on wood. Yeah. But we're doing so good, so far so good in this house.
Same. Like it's been really good lately. It's been very good.
Knock on wood. I'm not trying to jinx it, but it's been quiet and I'm living for it. So
I'm so excited for us to go on next coffee talk and be like,
everything is bad.
Guess what happened? Guess what happened?
You're it's never gonna believe who could have seen this coming.
We just spoke it into being, but it's fine. It's okay. It's okay. It's fine.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
I wasn't ready. Wow. First of all, thank you so much for asking.
You're so welcome.
Pocket altars. We've talked about them before. So this is a layered answer. Our spellcasters last month, we sent out travel tin altars for you to make, mm-hmm. which Maria is doing a fun little giveaway with, or not giveaway, sorry. We're not allowed to say that. Gift away. We're doing a gift. So there's that. But we did that last month. And then I've got a thing coming up and I'm making like pocket altars for some people that are coming to visit me. And I'm like hand making them and I'm like living for it. And I am making them based off of this creator that makes them called Medusa Textiles. Mm-hmm. That I've shared before as my account that I'm loving right now. This was like a year ago. So like, that person is my inspiration for making my own pocket altar. And I'm making one for myself first because I'm cool and fun and I can do that.
No, you should.
And also I like want to problem solve what I'm doing. So
gotta fill your cup first. It's fine. Well,
and also like let's get all the kinks picked out on something for myself rather than what I'm giving to like friends. So I'm living for it. I'm having a really good time with it. And yeah, it's been really fun.
That's good.
So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron?
Honestly, I was trying to think about it. I've been trying to think about it like this entire thing. And honestly, nothing's not stirring my cauldron. So I thought I'd talk about what is stirring my cauldron.
Do it, girl. I've done that before. Why not?
You do it all the time. So
yeah, let's be positive.
Yeah, like... Actually, so obviously if you've been following us for a while, you know, I have been dealing with like a ton of like health issues and stuff like that. But yesterday I went to a myofascia therapy session and guys, like so good. Like I've tried so many different things in order to get my body to heal. I've tried acupuncture, I've tried massage, and it just, none of it seemed to be addressing the issue. mm-hmm. and the myofascia is. So we have fascia like everywhere on our bodies and stuff like that. Like, and it's just kind of like, it's getting those muscles to relax and to just chill out using, like, I thought it was going to be way more intense than what it is, but it's actually like, it's kind of like that energy, like energy healing, like mm-hmm. how they accept it, but it's Freaky. More than that. Yeah, but it's more than that. Like, you're actually stretching and lengthening out those muscles and that's your skin and stuff like that and getting things to chill out. Mm-hmm. And oh gosh, I wish I could explain it super well, but it was just, it was so relaxing and so meditative. Way different than massage. Like, it was just like her moving my body in certain positions and like pressing down on certain areas of my skin for like 5 minutes at a time and just like letting the muscles relax and to chill out. And I'm going to keep going back. Like,
you should. If it's working, then do it.
Yeah. If you have like muscle issues or anything like that, I know it's good for fibromyalgia. Give it a go. Like, give it a try. It is very good. I do recommend finding someone who has a bunch of like school and classes beyond or their belt when you do it. But yeah, like really good. Like, gonna keep going.
Good. So if you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creatives that we are loving right now. This could be books, social media, shops, just anything that we love. And as a reminder, these are not ads. These are just people Maria and I are vibing with. Simultaneously, you can send us your listener submissions. We would love to shout out a small business that you are loving right now. So that being said, Maria, who are you vibing with?
So as I mentioned, that. Remember, it's improv. It's an improv episode. We're probably improv. Hands. But as I talked about in the tarot portion, Magical Hours Tarot is what I'm currently really vibing with. I got sent it by USA Games, and just the illustrations are so beautiful. Is that collage art that I really like? And if you're on YouTube, here, I'll show you like a couple of cards, but it's just so beautiful, so well put together, like very elegant cards. Like if you have Tarot of Mystical Moments, it's kind of like that feel, but different. And I don't know, they're just super stunning. I think now these are my top 10. Yeah, well, top 10. Like Tarot of Mystical Moments will be my forever number one. I love that deck. but I think the only downside to this deck, which like, it's not that bad. it's just that normal, like, glossy finish cardstock. I do wish that it was, like, a linen with, like, you know, gilded edges or something like that. Because I feel like this deck could have done super well. And, like, having those extra bells and whistles on that would have been even, like, you know, chef's kiss. But I know times right now are tough.
Times are tough.
You know, for a bunch of, you know, for especially like book publishing and stuff like that right now. And
yeah, it's crazy.
So yeah, it's beautiful. What are you loving?
I found, and I feel like I'm really like late to the game on this because they are actually a pretty big account, but I thought it was cool. They're called Moon Street Kits, and they teach you how to make. They sell kits, but then they also are teaching you like practical. Here's how I make this thing. Here's how I make this spell candle. Here's how I make this oil. And she's got this thing that's like, how do I fucking do that? And it's, I don't know. I really like it. I thought it was fun, but also really educational and I don't know, useful. So.
Oh, that's fun. I love that.
Yeah, it's like fun. It's fun and it was funny while simultaneously being good information. So I thought that was pretty good. Yeah. Our listener choice this week is a submission of a friend of theirs who makes this bucket hat that it's a bucket hat, and then you flip it inside out, and it's a witch's hat, a pointy witch's hat.
No and way.
I like it so much. I actually submitted a request form to have one made, and I had a really lovely chat with the maker of this company. They're called, let me tell you who they are. They're _reiterate_. Mm-hmm. I have commissioned a hat that I'm going to have for summer because I was like, I like that so much. I really need a new hat. So, yeah. like it so much. Give me three more.
I love like witchy summer hats. Like there's this one. I forgot.
My summer hat from last year, my bucket hat from last year, I got it wet in the pool and it like shrunk as it dried. And so I like it when I put it on my head now, it like hurts. So I'm like, oh,
Lisa means those made off natural materials.
Right. But I really need a new hat. And I've been telling Frances that I've been needing a new hat. And I've had like a mental budget. And she quoted me a really reasonable price. So I was like, 10 out of 10, I'll take it. So,
yeah, that's cute. That was pretty cool. Love that for you.
Yeah, I love it too. And she had like a bunch of fabric. So it's like she's doing it fully custom for me. It's going to be black on the bucket hat side. And the inside's going to be floral and be like pink and cute. And I'm really excited about it. So,
well, I expect pictures.
Yeah, I'm just grateful that their friend sent it in. So,
yeah.
10 out of 10. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this week. We will see you again on May 9th for our next Coffee Talk episode or May 16th for the 8th episode of season 6. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we are up to. And as a reminder, you can join me on May 31st via Patreon, Libraries Here and Up, for my class on Baneful Magic. I'm going to teach you guys how to do some curses and hexes and my personal favorites. So,
yeah.
I'll see you guys there.
Very exciting. And additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers a special 25-minute part 2 episode, which we're hopefully going to record sometime soon. We've been kind of like dealing
with
all
of us. We've had a lot of very not great things going on, but I'm hopeful that we're starting to improve and we will be recording part 2s again soon.
Yes. And we have a huge library of articles about witchcraft. Like I literally just made one on pocket altars and it's just not for our, you know, our spellcasters, but also for anybody to use and utilize, make your own pocket altar. And I'll also do a monthly outlook, which will be dropping any day now. And we have a Discord community full of fun events and discussions. Like we have so many amazing people on there. Come join an amazing community, seriously.
Yeah, and last month for my smut club, I made a PowerPoint. So, and book club is going to have a PowerPoint. And this next month, Dawn Martin, who wrote our book, Dabbler's Guide to Witchcraft, is coming on to do a Q&A for people. So if you're a part of the Witches First Coven tier or up, you can ask the author directly questions.
Yeah. Very excited about that. And so, but please like rate us. Oh, wait. Oops. I read the wrong part. Oh, my God. Okay. Where was that? And we even have tiers to offer one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself. Like, you know, if you want some like one-on-one time to learn about witchcraft, and we will even like, if you don't want to learn about witchcraft, we can do tarot readings for you instead. Like maybe one month you want to learn and another month you want cards pulled, but yeah, just let us know.
And please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual chef's kiss voices, take a moment to review us from whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify or somewhere else. We love reading your reviews and rating us with 5 stars, but really rating us at all helps us to be seen by others. So if you can take 5 seconds to just smash that button for us, we would really appreciate it. Thank you for everybody who already has and everyone who will in the future. We appreciate you.
Yeah. And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons.
With Robin from Out of Tired Witch everywhere.
And I'm Maria from Magic with Maria everywhere.
All right, ready?
Yep.
One,
two,
three.